troublesome waters, much blacker than night, are hiding from view the harbor's bright light. Tossed in the turmoil of life's stormy sea, I cried to my Savior, have mercy on me. Then gently I'm feeling the touch of His hand, guiding my boat and safely to land, leading the way to heaven's bright shore. Troublesome waters, I'm fearing no more.
Welcome to Sound Doctrine. This is Chris Ardern, your host, and we can be found at www.sounddoctrine.org. And I want to just take the time to welcome everybody back. It's been a few weeks since there's been a study show, and it's for good reason. You know, I'm just not in any under any pressure to follow a schedule, you know, a quota. We try to get something new up every week anyway to keep, the followers of the blog, fed. And, this is the things the Lord is showing me. And then, as I say, refer to the ministry as we. And, this week is no exception because this show is, very, very astonishing, just amazing, important. And, you know, it came about through a volley of emails that was just kind of, I know for sure it was the Lord, working. Just this Holy Spirit just brings understanding to our minds. You know, we are just such finite, limited creatures here, you know, in this flesh environment that we're navigating in. But, the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of truth, does prevail to those who are seeking the Lord, you know, are worshiping the Lord in spirit and in truth. And a big part of that, following the Lord in this just-in-time world that we live in is patience. You know, patience is so critical for anybody really seeking after the Lord, because He's in no hurry, and everything is happening according to His perfect plan. It is written. You know, we saw, you know, a show or two ago how, you know, the locust army, is fulfilling the word of God, you know, in their, in what they're doing as far as, you know, devouring the truth and casting the truth to the ground. And this is all for God's purpose. And, you know, this show tonight is going to be a continuation of that with some new understanding that is just so, just exciting and awesome as far as the clarity that is there in Scripture. Just is coming together for me in a new level. And as I say, we work together on this ministry, encouraging one another and edifying one another. And, you know, this week's no exception. As I say, we had a volley of emails that resulted in the most profound, deep understanding of a passage that we've gone over many times before. But and I'm hoping to bring new light to a verse in Acts chapter 13 that is Paul quoting the prophets. And this is such a One of my favorite aspects of Scripture is when the New Testament quotes the Old Testament. I always love that because you know there's something really important there that the Lord wants us to understand. And I just pick away at them as I can, seeking the Lord on, you know, the level of understanding that He has available to us. And it never ceases to amaze me how much can be in a simple verse that we've read, you know, hundreds, maybe even thousands of times in our lives, and not really understanding what it really means until the Holy Spirit opens it to us. As we know that the church is built upon revelation, you know, the revelation that told Peter that Jesus was the Christ, the Son of the living God. And that's the rock that Jesus built His church upon, that we have understanding revealed to us supernaturally. And that only comes to those who are diligently seeking Him and worshiping the Lord in spirit and in truth. We cannot understand Scripture by our own, figuring it out, by our own fleshly understanding. It's got to be revealed to us spiritually. But when it is, it just opens it up so deeply, and at the same time so shocking at times, because some of this information that is there embedded in Scripture is so shocking and so troubling, so disturbing. But we also see that it's nothing new, that the prophets have, the servants of the prophets have been shaken by these words through time. We saw the, you know, John and the Isle of Patmos, you know, it was sweet to his mouth, but bitter to his stomach. And Daniel, his countenance changed. Ironically, he was basically describing the pale horse, and his countenance was pale. And because the information about the pale horse makes you pale, it basically, sucks your breath away. And this show tonight is no exception. It's still talking about the same idea, the same reality, the same identities that we've been over and over, but just with a new dimension of clarity. And my hope tonight, my prayer tonight, is that I can convey it to you, and that it would impact you as much as it has me, because this information has just floored me. I've had a week of just, oh my gosh, just sitting there in just utter amazement as I see what is actually taking place and how it is described in just utter detail in the Scripture, but hidden. You know, it's not obvious what this is saying until you dig and apply where you've been, apply the information the Lord has already revealed to us, and then it just adds a new dimension. And so I just want to thank the group. It was Mark and I want to thank Mark and Bill and Bob as we were exchanging this email this week. And, Mark bringing out some understanding that he had that just clicked with me hit me like a ton of bricks. And I just, it just was the door that I needed to open up a understanding in Scripture that, I had seen, but not to this dimension that I'm going to attempt to, bring out today. You know, but not to the level of understanding, you know, not to the dimension that the Lord opened up to me. And with that, I'm going to jump into the study. I'm going to open up with Acts chapter 13, verse 40 and 41. Beware, therefore, lest that come upon you which is spoken of in the prophets. Behold, ye despisers, and wonder, and perish. For I work a work in your days, a work which ye shall in no wise believe, though a man declare it unto you. And we know, this is Paul quoting Habakkuk. And the work that if it was told you, you wouldn't believe it. I'm going to go ahead and read in Habakkuk chapter 1, verse 4. Therefore the law is slack, and judgment does never go forth. For the wicked doth compass about the righteous, therefore wrong judgment proceedeth. This is a perfect example of a similitude in Scripture. You know, that the Lord uses similitudes through the servants, the prophets, as he teaches. And he's teaching, you know, Paul is using the account in Habakkuk to teach, you know, in Acts, as he's bringing forth this, forward, this, passage of Scripture from the prophets. In Habakkuk chapter 1, verse 5, behold ye among the heathen, and regard, and wonder marvelously, for I will work a work in your days, which ye will not believe, though it be told you. For lo, I raise up in Chaldeans, I raise up the Chaldeans, that bitter and hasty nation, which shall march through the breadth of the land, to possess the dwelling places that are not theirs. They are dreadful and terrible. Their judgment and their dignity shall proceed of themselves. Their horses also are swifter than the leopards, are more fierce than the evening wolves. And their horsemen shall spread themselves, and their horsemen shall come from afar. They shall fly as the eagle hath to eat. Okay. Well, what we're reading here is the work, this work that the Lord will do. And we've talked about it before. And speculated on it, and I've actually had brought about some confusion lately on it, which the Lord has been so gracious to clarify and to clear up that confusion that I had, because I've been wrestling with the Scripture, but now with the thanks of Mark, you know, with the comment he was making concerning a post that he had seen on one of our friends. Blog site that has really drifted from sound doctrine lately, and was absolutely misinterpreting this piece of Scripture, and Mark was was rebuking him and clarifying what this is teaching, and in doing so it just grabbed me, and I've been able to really add to this now a new dimension. But this work, this work that if I were to tell you, you wouldn't believe it. You know, what is it? What is that work? Well, I'll just cut right to the chase, and then we'll end up clarifying it with the study tonight. But what Paul is talking about in Acts, and what Habakkuk is prophesying about, it's the snare. It's the strong delusion, the deception that would deceive the very elect if possible. This is the work. This is what the work is. The Lord's strange work, the Lord's strange act, as it says in Isaiah. Well, this is the work, the work that the way the Lord has chosen to deal with His people, to accomplish, what He has set out to accomplish, is He's doing so through this strong delusion that He sends. You know, it says that in 2 Thessalonians, that God sends strong delusion. And this is a concept that is just so foreign to the corporate church today, because they're just not taught this dimension to the Lord. The goodness and severity of God. They're taught the goodness, but there's this actually, this is the thing that's so amazing, because this is what this is. This is the work. The work is the teachers of those doctrines, is what the Lord is doing. This amazing work that if I were to tell you this, and it's the truth, because they don't believe it, because few people have ears to hear this. But the work is the deception that the Lord sends to accomplish His purpose, to separate His flock. And it's so amazing because... Okay, what are we seeing here in Habakkuk? We're seeing a reference to dreadful and terrible. Terrible and dreadful. And we see all the signatures of the beast right there in Habakkuk. The leopard, the horseman, the eagle, basically what this is prophesying is the beast. The beast is the consolidation of all this deception. that has, you know, taken hold in the hearts of the fleshly driven man, the earth dweller, and results in what we have today. You know, this this beast system that has successfully corrupted society to the point that you know, so few are able to even grasp the deeper understandings in Scripture. And as this thing continues to build and build, you know, it just gets worse and worse. And this is what's so neat, is because we see what the Lord has been doing here in this ministry, you know, over the last year, even the last 9 months, when, you know, the understanding of the abomination that maketh desolate had come out. And essentially, this is exactly what Habakkuk is teaching. This work that, if you were told, you wouldn't believe it, is actually the work that is the abomination of desolation. In other words, the Lord takes his house and fills it full of liars and you know, hypocrites, and this is how the Lord is doing his work. It is just so brilliant that Jesus came, the religious system that was waiting for him knew not the time of their visitation and ended up executing the very Messiah that they were waiting for. And it is just so amazing at how the Lord has accomplished his purpose by allowing the vanity of man's mind to you know, to run its course. But he does this because we have free will. And this is how it has to be. We're going to take a look now at the account in Isaiah of this work. And with this scripture, it'll give us more of a foundation to hold on to as we really, you know, seek to understand the deep things of the Lord's work, that if we were to if you were to tell us, we wouldn't believe it. And I have to say, I, you know, it's hard to believe it, that this God that is portrayed in the harlot church would be capable of doing this work. But this is what the scripture says. This is what is written. And you know, be assured that it is you know, it is going to happen. I'm going to pick it up in Isaiah 26, verse 19. Thy dead men shall live, together with thy dead body shall they arise. Awake and sing, ye that dwell in dust, for thy dew is as the dew of the herbs, and the earth shall cast out the dead. Come, my people, enter into thy chambers, and shut thy door about thee. Hide thyself, as it were, for a little moment, until the indignation is overpassed. For behold, the Lord cometh out of his place to punish the inhabitants of the earth for their iniquity. The earth shall also disclose her blood, and shall no more contain her slain. Okay, there's a real key word here in this passage in Isaiah 26 where we pick it up. Indignation. Because this work that we wouldn't believe if we were told is the indignation. This is what this is. And this passage in 26:20. That we've held on to so tightly, you know, over the last couple of years, has this become more alive with the understanding. And I've always known that this chamber, you know, shut thy door about thee and hide thyself for a little moment, is referring to the truth. I just knew that was what this is talking about. And that's where our protection is. And most assuredly it is, because this is where we are safe. We're safe in the truth as we shut the door about thee, as we're covered in the covenant of truth, as we're protected from this deception, this indignation that is upon us. And that's the most astonishing thing of all, as we continue on with this study, and whatever the church has, you know, put on these events we read in Scripture, as a future event. You know, as my walk continues, it just becomes more and more clear. This is all underway. This is all happening right now, and I'm definitely of the mind that we are in the tribulation. As I said before, I had a problem with the term tribulation because I do see the whole New Testament as referenced as tribulation, persecution and tribulation. And, you know, this is for God's purpose. And then I also see the, you know, the reference to the indignation, and I've always really held to the fact that that's what happens as the finishing up of things, the as we saw in our Daniel studies, the consummation. And that's what we're talking about. We're talking about the end. We're talking about the finishing up of things. And while we're never going to dispute the fact that this stuff hasn't cycled through history, obviously Paul was dealing with it in his time. And, you know, in 2 Thessalonians, we see it referenced, the mystery of iniquity. Even now, you know, when Paul was writing his letter to the Thessalonians. But we do see that the ultimate manifestation of these events is this strange work, this strange act comes to the full at the end when we learned in our abomination study when the transgressors come to the full, you know, and I'm going through the same exact emotions, feelings, you know, perplexity, trouble, vexation is the word that we're going to come up on soon in Isaiah. I'm feeling this vexation over these scriptures, you know, this understanding, because it is just so startling, so shocking, and not to... You take away from the fact that the reason it's most astonishing is that we know that it's happening right now. And I'm convinced that we are in the indignation of the Lord. As this army of false teachers that has taken over the house of God is the indignation. This is the judgment. This is the overflowing scourge. But we see, you know, the Lord comes out of his place. And we also see the reference in Zechariah. Be silent, O flesh. This is Zechariah chapter 2, verse 13. Be silent, O all flesh, before the Lord, for he is raised up out of his holy habitation. And this is serious. This is serious business. And this is the Lord going about his final work, his... finishing up of things. And I just read out of Isaiah 26, which sets the scene for, you know, one of our favorite pieces of scripture that I want to really build upon tonight, and that's Isaiah chapter 28, as you know, we see the reference in Joel. Awake, ye drunkards, and weep, and howl, all ye drinkers of wine, because of the new wine, for it is cut off from thy mouth. For a nation is come up upon my land, strong and without number, whose teeth are the teeth of a lion. He has the cheek teeth of a great lion. Well, this nation, you know, this nation is the nation that of false teachers. You know, the 200,000 in Revelation chapter 9 is... you know, coming against these drunkards. And who are these drunkards in Joel? Well, what does Isaiah 28 say? Woe to the crown of pride, to the drunkards of Ephraim, whose glorious beauty is a fading flower, which are in the head of the fat valley of them that are become of new wine. Okay, who are these drunkards? What are they drunk on? jumping ahead to Isaiah 29:9, stay yourself in wonder, cry ye out and cry. They are drunken, but not with wine. They stagger, but not with strong drink. For the Lord has poured out upon you the spirit of deep sleep, and has closed your eyes. The prophets and your rulers, the seers, hath he covered. And the vision of all has become unto you as the words of a book that is sealed, which men deliver to one that is learned, saying, read this, I pray thee. And he saith, I cannot, for it is sealed. And this is what's happening here. Ephraim is drunk, and weep and howl, because the drunkards in Joel are drunk on false doctrine. Okay, and that's what this is teaching. And this false doctrine is causing God's people to sleep, and it's also causing the words to be sealed to them, and they can't see them. And what are we seeing here with this sealed? Go thy way, Daniel. These words are sealed till the time of the end. And this is why this stuff has gone on for all these years in this very scripture, sealed. Understanding wasn't given to people over these words until the end, until now. And what do we see in Revelation? The seven seals. Who is worthy to open the seal? The Lamb who was slain is the one who is worthy to open the seal. And as I'm saying now, as we step back and from the overview of the book of Revelation, I'm seeing the seals are the unveiling of this information that I'm sharing with you. And I'm seeing the trumpets are the proclaiming of this information that the Lord has opened up to his servants, the prophets, which is what's taking place right now. I'm skipping around here a little bit, but we see in Isaiah 28, Isaiah 28:19, for the time that it goes forth, it shall take you. For morning by morning shall it pass over. By day and by night it shall be a vexation. Only to understand the report. Well, this is exactly what is taking place right now. This is a prophecy written, in Isaiah's time. And it is for this time today. As this is exactly what I'm doing right now. I'm reporting this information to you. And it is a vexation. And it's very, very shocking. Isaiah 28:19. And then Isaiah 20 says, for the bed is shorter than a man can stretch himself on it, the covering narrower, and he can wrap himself in it. This is a reference to the covenant. And those that are not covered in the covenant, we've been over that and over that and that on our understandings of Isaiah 28. And what's the next verse? 28:21. For the Lord shall rise up in Mount Perazim, and he shall be wroth in the valley of Gibeon, that he may do his work, his strange work, and bring to pass his act, his strange act. Isaiah 28:22. Now therefore, be ye not mockers, lest your bands be made strong, for I have heard the Lord God of a consumption, even determined upon the whole earth. Give ye ear and hear my voice, hearken and hear my speech. Okay, so this is saying the exact same thing that Habakkuk is saying. Therefore, be ye not mockers. Habakkuk, behold ye among the heathen and regard and wonder marvelously. Paul says, behold ye despisers and wonder and perish. Despisers as mockers. These are the scoffers. This is who this is addressed to. And it's addressed to those that better wake up and pay attention. It's also talking about the same thing in Isaiah 28:14. Wherefore ye hear the word of the Lord, ye scornful men that rule this people which is in Jerusalem. Okay, these are the same people, the same scoffers. Where is the promise of his coming? Isaiah 28:15, because ye have said, we have made a covenant with death, and with hell are we at agreement. When the overflowing scourge shall pass through, it shall not come unto us. For we have made lies our refuge, and under falsehoods we have hid ourselves. And then Isaiah 28:18, and your covenant with death shall be disannulled, and your agreement with hell shall not stand. When the overflowing scourge shall pass through, ye shall be trodden down by it. So here's the people that have said, they have not made this covenant, but they have said they have. It's a lie, this covenant with death, which is the covenant that is in Daniel chapter 9. This is the same covenant that the people of the prince that is to come make, and they make it with the Assyrians. They make this covenant with the Assyrians, which is what this is. It's the overflowing scourge. But it's the lie that they believe. When the overflowing scourge shall pass through, it shall not come unto us. What is this overflowing scourge? It's the indignation. What it is the false teachers and the false doctrine, the deception. That's the overflowing scourge. And this is the mentality in the harlot church, is that this deception won't come unto us. It won't get us. We're going to watch out for that falling away. And this mentality is just absurd, because they've already been taken by the falling away. That's the irony of all this. This is the strange act. This is the work that if I were to tell you, you wouldn't believe it. It's the fact that the Lord sends strong delusion to his very house for his purpose. I'm going to go on. You know, we ended up with Isaiah 20:18, you know, that the overflowing scourge shall pass through, you shall be trodden down by it. Well, we see that in Revelation 11:2, but the court which is without the temple, leave out and measure it not. It is given unto the Gentiles. In other words, the pagans. In other words, the flight of locusts. And the holy city shall be trodden underfoot 42 months. In other words, the house of God will be trodden down by the false locust teachers, teaching their false doctrine. And to go back to Acts and consider the context of Acts chapter 13 and shedding more light on Habakkuk chapter 1. You know, we read that and when they had gone to the Isle of Paphos, they found a certain sorcerer, a false prophet, a Jew, whose name was Bar-Jesus. And which was the deputy of the country, Sergius Paulus, a prudent man, who called for Barnabas and Saul. And he desired to hear the word of God. So this Bar-Jesus is, with the deputy of the country, Sergius Paulus, who's a prudent man, seeking the Lord. And, but Elymas, the sorcerer, withstood them, seeking to turn away the deputy from the faith. This is Acts 13:9. Then Saul, filled with the Holy Ghost, set his eyes on him and said, O full of all subtleties and mischief, thou child of the devil, thou enemy of all righteousness, wilt thou not cease to pervert the right ways of the Lord? Okay, now we're setting up the context of Paul prophesying, or using the words from the prophets, in other words, Habakkuk, about the work. And then in verse 27, and they that dwell in Jerusalem and their rulers, because they knew not, they knew him not, nor yet the voices of the prophets, which are read every Sabbath, they have fulfilled them in condemning him. Now, so here's Paul saying exactly what I was talking about before, about the very religious that should have known the Messiah, but in fact were fulfilling Scripture by not knowing him. And to go on in verse 29, and when they had fulfilled all that was written, they took him down from the tree and laid him in a sepulcher, but God raised him from the dead. And then in Acts you know, 1340, 41, which is the account that this show is about. Beware, therefore, lest that come upon you, which is spoken of in the prophets. In other words, all this stuff I just talked about, you know, of being a false prophet, full of subtlety and mischief, and being one that they dwell in Jerusalem and their rulers. So this is talking about the followers and the rulers, because they knew him not, nor yet the voices of the prophets, which are read every day, every Sabbath day. So they didn't know what was happening right before their eyes as the scripture was being fulfilled, as they knew not the hour of their visitation, and they killed the Savior. And this is exactly what Paul is saying in recounting Habakkuk. Don't let this happen to you. Behold, ye despisers, and wonder and perish. For I work a work in your days, a work which ye shall in no wise believe, though a man declare it unto you. So this is all the work that the Lord is doing, allowing this to happen, allowing this false religion to run the show. And unfortunately, we're seeing this whole scene replay today, as this whole religious system has been so completely consumed by hypocrisy and pride that they're missing it again. They're missing the army that Joel warned us. The Lord shall utter his voice before his army, for his camp is very great, for he is strong that executeth his word. For the day of the Lord is great and very terrible, and who can abide it? This is the army of locusts, scorpions, that Joel was warning us about. And this army is executing God's word, just like what Paul was referring to in Acts, as that they fulfilled all that was written concerning the scribes and Pharisees that murdered the Messiah. Here is the dreadful army that is carrying out God's purpose, that is so in our face today, that one of the head mascots of this false movement, Joel's army, has Joel's army tattooed to his own chest, literally tattooed. And this is the army of false teachers that are the Lord's strange act, the Lord's strange work, completely controlling the house of God. Going back to the studies on the abomination of desolation, to the abomination being set up as the ancient and honorable. He is the head, the prophet that speaketh lies. He is the tail. We're talking about Satan sitting in his seat of authority, that his level of deception becomes so great that he controls the entire congregation. I will sit on the mount of the congregation to the sides of the north, says in Isaiah 14. This is what's taking place right now. This is the Lord's strange act, the Lord's strange work. That work that if I were to tell you, you wouldn't believe it. This is how the Lord has chosen to do his work. Fills his own house full of liars and hypocrites for his purpose. For his purpose of separation. Why? Because his sheep hear his voice. And his sheep don't fall for this. And to, you know, reconfirm what this is the snare. For as a snare shall it come upon them that dwell on the face of the whole earth. This is exactly what Ezekiel 38 is talking about in the Gog-Magog War. This is the Gog-Magog War. I will turn thee back. I will put hooks in thy jaws. This is exactly the same thing as a snare. I will bring thee forth, and all thine army, horse and horsemen, all of them clothed with all sorts of armor, even a great company with bucklers and shields, and all of them handling swords. Okay, why is this account in Ezekiel interpreted physically when we take the account of the armor of God in Ephesians chapter 6, interpreted spiritually? Because it's the same spiritual battle. The Ephesians 6 armor is there to combat the Ephesians 38 armor. This is the spiritual Magog, Gog-Magog war. That's what this is. And again, this is the work that if I were to tell you, you wouldn't believe it, which is, I'm here to tell you, is the absolute truth, that this information, as I started to understand it a couple years ago, understanding the truth about the Gog-Magog War. The Gog-Magog War is the war that is raging in every corner church. It is the fact that the Lord is using his own house to carry out its own judgment. Because don't forget what this is, folks. This is the judgments. This is the trumpet judgments. Actually, this is all the judgments. The seals is the unveiling of this, which is where I'm headed next. The trumpets are the exposing it, the announcing it, the warning about it. And the vials are the actual carrying out of these plagues, these judgments. And these plagues, these judgments are for the purpose of separating out God's flock. But who is able to open the seal? The words that are sealed to the time of the end. Jesus. And what happens? 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. And then shall the wicked be revealed, whom the Lord shall consume with the spirit of his mouth, and shall destroy with the brightness of his coming. Key word, revealed. Back up to 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 3. Let no man deceive you by any means, for that day shall not come, except there come a falling away first, and that man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition, who exalteth and opposes himself above all that is called God, or that is worship, so that he, as God, sitteth in the temple of God, showing himself to be God. Key word, revealed. The man of sin has been revealed to us. We see this. We understand this. We understand the words that are written concerning the Lord's work, that if it were told us, we wouldn't believe it. And it was hard to believe. It's hard to get a hold of this. How can this be? This isn't the Jesus that I was taught in the church. Well, this is the Jesus. This is the real Jesus. This is the truth about Jesus, that Jesus considered the goodness and severity of God. And then shall the wicked be revealed, to whom the Lord shall consume with the spirit of his mouth. This is why we understand this, folks, because it's been revealed to us. This is the mystery. What is it also talking about in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2? For the mystery of iniquity does already work. Only he who now letteth will let until that he be taken out of the way. Well, that mystery of iniquity is the mystery surrounding this very account that I'm sharing tonight. The mystery has been revealed to us. It is given to you to understand the mysteries of the kingdom of God. To them it is not given. And I will reveal my mysteries to the servants, the prophets. But in the days of the voice of the seventh angel, when he shall begin to sound, the mystery of God should be finished, as he hath declared to his servants, the prophets. Well, this is the voices. This is our voices, folks, declaring this mystery that this work should be finished. This work that the Lord has declared to us, in that, to continue on to 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 11. And for this cause, okay, this is the work. And for this work, God shall send them strong delusion, that they should believe a lie. This is the work. This is the Lord's strange work. This is the Lord's strange act. It's the deception. It's the strong delusion that's sent into the house of God. Revelation 17:7, and the angel said unto me, wherefore did thou marvel? I tell thee the mystery of the woman and of the beast that carrieth her, which had seven heads, 10 horns. This mystery is the mystery Babylon that's been revealed to us. We see mystery Babylon. This is the strange work. This is the indignation. Daniel 8:19. And he said, behold, I will make thee known what shall be in the last end of the indignation, for the time appointed the end shall be. Notice that end. The indignation. It's the consummation What did it say in 2 Thessalonians 2:8? And then shall the wicked be revealed, whom the Lord shall consume with the spirit of his mouth, and shall destroy with the brightness of his coming. This is the consumption, even determined upon the whole earth. That's what this is that we're talking about. You know, the consumption is the finishing up of things. You know, we saw that in Daniel. You know, he shall confirm the covenant with many for 1 week. In the midst of the week, he shall cause a sacrifice and the oblation to cease. And for the overspreading of abominations, he shall make it desolate. So, you know, we went over this last show, that Jesus leaves his house desolate, and it stays desolate, even unto the consummation, is the next verse, the next phrase in Daniel 9:27. He shall make it desolate, and even until the consummation, and that determined shall be poured out upon the desolate. So, in other words, when they killed Christ, when the prince of the people that shall come, that came, killed Christ, Christ left his house desolate, and it stayed desolate even until the consummation. And this is what this is. This is the work. This is the work the Lord is doing. This is how he's chosen to do it. He's allowed this false religion to flourish, to, he's given Satan reign, even though we see Satan is bound through this period of time in the New Testament, which he was restricted. He was restrained, as it says in, 2 Thessalonians. He was still able to influence, to function, but then we see at the end where it says that he's released from his prison and he's allowed to deceive the nations again. And, I see that clearly as the level of deception that we're experiencing today is equal to the time before Christ, when, you know, demonic possession was just everywhere, and Satan was loosed from his prison. He was allowed to travel freely throughout heaven, throughout the spiritual realm, if you will. But we see during the 1,000 years he's bound. But then we see that he's released for a short season, and the references to the short season, you know, are completely tied into what we're seeing here in this, even into the consummation, you know, the finishing up of things. For this cause, now that, you know, we see in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 11, for this cause. Well, this cause is the Lord's work, the Lord's strange work. It's the work that if I were to tell you, you wouldn't believe it, that they should believe a lie. This is all part of God's plan. Because it said in Daniel 9:26, and the end thereof shall be with a flood. You know, Jeremiah 47:2, thus says the Lord, behold, waters rise up out of the north, and shall be an overflowing flood, and shall overflow the land. And, you know, we know that this flood that proceeds out of the dragon's mouth, that goes after the woman. You know, the woman is the church. It's the body of Christ. And the deception, the flood that comes out of the dragon's mouth, you know, makes war with the woman and the remnant of her seed. We go back to Daniel 11:36, and the king shall do according to his will. He shall exalt himself, magnify himself above every god. Now this is talking about Satan influencing man. This is the king shall do according to his will. You know, in this day and age of fables, you know, everybody's trying to attach this references like this to this man that stands up, this physical man, but they don't realize that it's talking about the spirit of Antichrist, which is the spirit influencing the body of Christ that has fallen for the counterfeit. And the spirit of Antichrist functions in the same way as the spirit of Jesus Christ, in that he opposes and exalts himself above all that is called God, or that is worshipped, so that he as God sitteth in the temple of God, showing himself to be God. And what did Paul say about the temple of God in 1 Corinthians? He said, ye are the temple of God. So, folks, you know, we just have to get a hold of what this is really saying. And we see a verse where the king shall do according to his will and he shall exalt himself and magnify himself above every god. This is talking about a spiritual influence that's going on into the hearts of professing Christians that have fallen for this strong delusion. They believe a lie and they're allowing this man of sin to rule their hearts. This is the spirit of Antichrist. And to continue on in that verse 36, Daniel 11:36, and shall speak marvelous things against the God of gods, and shall prosper till the indignation be accomplished. This is all part of this. This indignation is being accomplished through this. For that it is determined shall be done. Everything that God has determined to be accomplished through this work is going to be done. And it is being done right now. Because what's happening? This is the threshing floor. This is the separation. We notice that this is always, in context, is referencing separation, and it is referencing the harvest. You know, we see like in Isaiah 28, we saw the talk about the Lord's strange act, oh ye, you know, scoffers. How does the chapter in Isaiah 28 end up? Does the plowman plow all day to sow? Does he open and break the clods for the ground? This is referencing, you know, harvesting, planting and harvesting. When he has made plain the face thereof, does he not cast abroad the fitches and scatter the cumin and cast in the principal wheat and appointed barley and the rye in their place? You know, and then continue on, the fitches are not threshed with a threshing instrument, neither is a cartwheel turned upon the cumin. That's the two parts cut off. That's the serpents and scorpions. They're not threshed. They're burned. And the fitches are beaten out with a staff and the cumin with a rod. But the bread corn is bruised because he will not ever be threshing it, nor break it with the wheel of his cart, nor bruise it with the horseman. This is all metaphor going on here. This is all talking about the threshing. This is all what this is about. It's about the threshing, the separation of the wheat from the chaff, the sheep from the goats. It's always the same principle going on. Just a little review here with, what's taking place. Joel chapter 1 verse 6, for a nation has come up upon my land. This is the same nation that Habakkuk's talking about. This is the work. Strong and without number, whose teeth are the teeth of a lion, the cheek teeth of a great lion. You see the references to the lion and the trumpet judgment, the fifth trumpet, where the serpents, locusts, scorpions come out of the bottomless pit, and they have, then the metaphor jumps to the lion, and it's the same identity that's taking place here in Joel. He hath laid the vine waste. This is what the lion do with their teeth. They lay the vine waste and bark the fig tree. Well, what's the vine? The vine is Jesus Christ. It's the new covenant. And they bark the fig tree. He hath made it clean bare and cast it away, the branches thereof. This is the talking about the covenant that they're laying waste. This is the nation in Joel that lays the vine waste and barks the fig tree. The vine and the fig tree is the covenant. The new covenant is the law, confirmed by Jesus the vine. And in Daniel chapter 8, a host was given him. The host is an army. A host was given him against the daily sacrifice by reason of transgression. It's all talking about the same thing. It's the army of false teachers that come against the covenant. And it casts the truth to the ground. This is Daniel 8:12. And it practiced and prospered. This is talking about the harlot church, 2012. Joel's army, the host, casts the truth to the ground. Host is army. And what happens in Daniel 11:32? And such as do wickedly against the covenant shall he corrupt by flatteries. Who's he? He is the king that stands up. It's the man of sin, that son of perdition. It's the spirit of Antichrist living in the heart of the professing Christian. And he's being seduced by flatteries, by these false gospel messages, prosperity, name it and claim it, and ultimately that the Jews are the chosen people, taking away from the fact that we're the covenant people, the Commonwealth of Israel. Commonwealth means a covenant people. Commonwealth means we're bound by a covenant. And Paul in Ephesians chapter 2 clearly says that if you are not part of the body of Christ, you are not a member of the Commonwealth of Israel. He likens the Commonwealth of Israel as the body of born-again believers. And we look in Revelation 9, verse 7, and the shapes of the locusts were likened to horses, prepared unto battle, and on their heads were, as it were, crowns like gold, and their faces were as the faces of men. Okay, well, who are these locusts? Well, these are the locusts, are the guys that are telling us that these locusts are going to be horses, locusts the size of horses with faces of men. In other words, the Tim LaHaye's, the Hal Lindsey's, the moronic Chuck Missler false prophets out there teaching these lies in books and DVD studies, $29.95, Revelation 9:16, and the number of the army of the horsemen were 200,000. And I heard the number of them. This is the judgment, the false teachers and their false doctrine. These teachers that are teaching that this army of horse-sized locusts is going to come on the earth is the army of locusts. And it's a metaphor that they just don't see. This is the army. This is the, they can't be numbered. 200,000. It's an indefinite number in Scripture with two factions of evil, the signature of two factions of evil. And then just to review Habakkuk chapter 1, verse 4, that this whole study is about. Therefore, the law is slacked, and judgment does never go forth. For the wicked does compass about the righteous, therefore wrong judgment proceedeth. This is why this is happening. The wicked does compass about the righteous. Well, what does that bring us to? It brings us to Luke 21:20. And when you shall see Jerusalem compassed with armies, then know the desolation thereof is nigh. Well, this is it. Jerusalem is the body of Christ compassed with armies of false teachers. This is what this is teaching. This is the Lord's work, and this is the work. This is the Lord's strange work, the Lord's strange act for his purpose. It's just amazing. And I'm just so, you know, thrilled to just be able to you know, bring this out tonight. I'm hoping that it edifies you as much as it does me, just in the assurance of where we are. Because, you know, even myself, I take scriptures about the indignation and the coming indignation, and, you know, I'm preparing for it, I think. But, you know, I just get through, you know, the teaching like this. And this is a big problem where Sue and I conflict on our teaching a lot, where Sue still got her eyes set on, you know, off in the distance. Now, I do believe this thing comes to a head. I believe it's been, these dynamics have been taking place since the cross. You know, they certainly took place in the Old Testament, but this building of this empire of this second run of the Babylonian Empire that we see today, that basically started out with you know, the false prophets that Paul was warning about in Acts, and they grew into Constantine making Christianity the state religion, and all the heresy and pagan idolatry that came from that. And as we saw, we've seen the word church, the ecclesia, the called out body of believers, the body of people that have truth revealed to them supernaturally. We see that whole concept corrupted simply by capitalizing the word church, and the word church becomes an institution, a thing, a means of power, a means of controlling the minds of man, Satan controlling the minds of the religious, because, you know, he knows that man's heart is drawn towards the spiritual matters. And as he attempted to do away with the Savior, thinking that he prevailed at the cross, was soon surprised that on the third day, Jesus rose from the dead, and, you know, the sting of death was conquered, and ultimately Satan was conquered, and he received his deadly wound. But we who study Scripture know that in the end, that deadly wound is healed, and then that power comes back, it ascends back, And while Satan attempted to kill the Savior, that didn't work. In the type and shadow of the beast out of the sea, the religious system known as Judaism, gone bad, received its deadly wound, and Satan was no longer able to, he was unable to kill the Messiah. So his new method is to lie about him. Enter the false prophet. And the false prophet is the false religious system that has been at work since we see the time of in Acts when Paul was referencing when he was referencing Elymas the sorcerer, you know, seeking to turn away the deputy from the faith. You know, O full of all subtlety and all mischief, thou child of the devil, thou enemy of all righteousness, wilt thou not cease to pervert the right ways of the Lord? This is what the false prophet does, and this is what the harlot leadership attempts to do. It perverts the right ways of the Lord. And I'm going to close out with, finishing up in Isaiah 29. Which comes after Isaiah 28 in the account of the Lord's strange work, the Lord's strange act. And in Isaiah 29:11, and the vision of all is become unto you the words of the book that is sealed, which men delivered to one that is learned, saying, read this, and I pray thee, and he saith, I cannot, for it is sealed. And the book is delivered unto him that is not learned, saying, read this, I pray thee, and he saith, I am not learned. Wherefore the Lord saith, forasmuch as the people draw near to me with their mouth, and with their lips do honor me, but have removed their heart far from me, and their fear toward me is taught by the precepts of men. Okay, this is what's taking place. It's man reasoning with his own understanding, teaching what he thinks, teaching his opinions, in other words, teaching the precepts of men. Isaiah 29:14. Therefore, behold, I will proceed to do a marvelous work among this people. Even a marvelous work and a wonder. Okay, this is the work. This is the work in Habakkuk. This is the work in Isaiah 28, the strange work. For the wisdom of their wise men shall perish, and the understanding of their prudent men shall be hid. And this is exactly what Paul was talking about in 1 Corinthians. The wisdom of the wise is foolishness to them that are perishing. This is the strange act. This is the way the Lord has chosen to do things. He, hides the truth to the wise. Isaiah 29:15. Woe unto them that seek to hide their counsel from the Lord. Now see, this term woe is significant because, we're seeing the three woes in the fifth, sixth, and seventh trumpet. Woe unto them that dwell on the face of the earth. And the reference to the woe here, this is the woe, this is the judgment, this is how the Lord is doing this, using what's the woes in fifth and sixth trumpet. It's the serpent, scorpion, false teachers out of the bottomless pit. It's the judgment, where the law is slapped and judgment doesn't go forth. This is why the Lord needs this work to come in. Woe unto them that seek deep to hide their counsel from the Lord, and their works are in the dark, and they say, who seeth us? Their works are in the dark. Bill really expounds on that concept way. They tried Jesus in night court. Their works were in the dark. It's just significant, similitude the Lord gives us for understanding. And their works are in the dark. And who knoweth us? And in that day fall, the deaf hear the words of the book, and the eyes of the blind shall see out of obscurity and out of the darkness. Now don't forget, folks, this is the point, because through all this work, the Lord does wake up his people. And I'll go as far as to say that we're part of this. We're part of this. This is what's happened to us. And as we are, sharing this report that it said in Isaiah 28, that the vexation that comes from this report You know, the you know, how disturbing this information is. This is what we're doing. We are in our teaching right now, and you listening and sharing with this ministry, we are about this work. We're carrying out this work with the Lord. The Lord is allowing us to be a part of it. In Isaiah 29:24, they also erred in spirit shall come to understanding, and they that murmured shall learn doctrine. So this is what's coming. This is what's already happening to us. It's the process is underway. As this false teachers are controlling the show, as the Lord's strange work is underway, those that erred in spirit come to understanding, and those that murmured shall learn doctrine. And this is the move of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit brings understanding. It's not hocus pocus. Sorcery, signs and wonders is what the church associates with moves of the Holy Spirit with. It's not that at all. It's understanding that comes upon God's people. And I'm going to wrap up with two verses in Isaiah 30, which say to the seers, see not, and to the prophets, prophesy not unto us right things, speak unto us smooth things, prophesy deceits. This is the Lord's strange work. This is the Lord's strange work. The Lord is giving those with itching ears that heap upon themselves teachers. This is what we get. This is what those who don't love the truth, who make lies their refuge and falsehood hide themselves, get exactly what they want. And this is the amazing thing. And this is the thing that if I were to tell you 5 years ago, you wouldn't believe it. I can barely believe it now, but I see scripture. This is over and over the same theme. This is what the Lord's doing. This is how he's doing it. And wrap up Isaiah 30:28, and his breath as an overflowing stream shall reach into the midst of the neck and sift the nations with the sieve of vanity. And there shall be a bridle in the jaws of the people, causing them to err. So that's the snare. The bridle in the jaws of the people. It's the hook in the jaws. It's the snare. It's the strong delusion. And this is the process the Lord uses to separate his flock, to sift the nations with the sieve of vanity. And those who are drawn to vain deceits, to murmuring, to hypocrisy, go that way and are not, sifted. They are not threshed there. You know, carried away by the wind. The chaff is blown by the wind of tribulation. All this metaphor, as we see the wind of doctrine. They're tossed to and fro by every wind of doctrine. The chaff is blown away by the wind of tribulation. And we can't forget that this tribulation is a blessing, because it is it's grace to God's people. Although it is tribulation, but it has an end, it has a purpose. And even until the consummation, and that determined shall be poured out upon the desolate. The abomination of desolation has been going on since the time of Christ. And right now we're seeing the setting up of the abomination, and that when it comes to the full. When the Gentiles come to the full, when the transgressors come to the full, when the apostate, the word transgressor is apostate, and when the apostate religious leaders take over completely, which is right where we are, because we're seeing the masses, wondering after, these characters on the scene today, these Glenn Beck and Mitt Romney, and putting their hope in this world, just like they did at the time of Christ, looking for an earthly king, believing the lie of a earthly kingdom, when Jesus said, "My kingdom is not of this world." And these people are just being tossed to and fro by the wind of doctrine because they're not studying to show themselves approved. But this is how God separates it out, because you don't study to show yourself approved, you're going to be caught in the snare. You're going to be caught in a strong delusion, and you're going to be on the wrong side of the plumb line in this indignation of the Lord, the Lord's strange work, the Lord's strange act, a work that if I were to tell you, you wouldn't believe it. And with that, I just want to thank everyone, for the encouragement and support, and we couldn't do it without you. This show is you. It's about you, and thank you. And God bless, and I love everyone out there. And in Jesus' name, thank you. Until next time, this is Chris R. Dern from Sound Doctrine. Good night.
I got my mind on eternity.